This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima allamtana wa zidna ilman rabbal alameen. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Amma ba'd. So we will inshallah tonight, again, or today, depending on when you're viewing this, inshallah, especially if you're joining us online, we're going to be doing two hadiths. And just like I said last time, if we're doing two hadiths at once, it doesn't mean that you need to do them at once if you are viewing this later. You could split it. You could do one hadith per week. Whatever fits, inshallah, your progression in the book and your development and absorption of knowledge and practice of it. So don't feel that you must actually do two hadiths at once. This is just for our purposes here. It's simply easier. But you can split it, inshallah. Do hadith 27 first, stop, then go back, think about it, practice what you need to practice from the hadith, then come back and then do hadith 28, bi'idhnillah azza wa jal. Then we'll do, inshallah, now we're going to begin with hadith number 27. And hadith 27 here is when the Messenger, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, said, إِذَا أَحَبَّ الرَّجُلُ أَخَاهُ فَلْيُخْبِرْهُ أَنَّهُ يُحِبُّهُ إِذَا أَحَبَّ الرَّجُلُ أَخَاهُ فَلْيُخْبِرْهُ أَنَّهُ يُحِبُّهُ. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, if someone loves his brother, let him know, or he should let him know that he loves them. Tell him that you love them. So this is a command from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is, if you happen to love someone, here it mentions ar-rajul, akha, the man, his brother, but it's equally applicable to females. If you love, sister loves another sister, or a brother loves another brother, he's saying, alayhi salatu wasalam, don't keep this to yourself. Let them know that you love them. And there's a benefit, obvious benefit to this hadith. But before we get into that, let's understand something a little bit bigger. And that is something that we've repeated, I hope frequently, that it should be well known, which is that Islam emphasizes the spread of love. In fact, we can call it an objective, we can call it an imperative, a goal, a project, that Islam commands the spread of love. And you could see in this hadith an instance where Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam recommend and they would love for you to spread that love all around. And if you examine all the sharia that's opposite the non-Muslim propaganda that religion somehow is about hate, or Islam is about hate, or the spread of hate. If you examine instances, mufradatu sharia, instances of the sharia, you'll find that every command in the sharia is about the spread of love. And of course, the love of Allah Azza wa Jal, the love of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and then love on earth. All the commands of sharia serve that purpose, and all the prohibitions of the sharia are to safeguard the love. All of them, okay? Especially if you don't take it in isolation, you take it in regard to the benefits and the harms, you'll see that there is an establishment of love and also protecting that love from anything that diminishes it. Now, loving someone for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal is a great gift. Why is it a great gift? Like when you really have something like this, that is a great gift. Why is it a great gift? First of all, that you would have someone who loves you, or do you have someone that you could love? On earth, this is a great gift. And we're going to come to this, inshallah, Rabbil Alameen. It's also a great gift because it indicates that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if you actually happen and you have in your heart that ability, that space to love someone for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, what does that mean? Is that you love Allah so much that you could love someone for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So loving Allah is a gift. Loving the believers is a gift. having loving you back is also a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a ni'mah. And if it's a ni'mah, you should thank Allah Azza wa Jal for it. You should appreciate it. You should work hard to get it. Just like any ni'mah in life, right? Any ni'mah in life, if you want to preserve it, you need to thank Allah for it, but work hard for it to continue, to persist. And so, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here is saying, tell others that you love them, that act preserves that love and extends that love. And if you think about it, kind of all of us need to hear that. Like, we're living in a world, and you can see the importance of this hadith, especially today, always, but especially today. And why is it especially today? Because we live in a disconnected world today. We're disconnected from each other. We live a lonely existence. The more you modernize, the less that you have contact with people. Everything is automated. Everything is remote. So you're distant from people. And when you're distant from people, you're distant from love as well. Distant from conversations, acknowledgement, emotions, feelings. You're dealing with machines or you're by yourself all the time. Loneliness, if not already, it's an epidemic. People feel alone and lonely more than any time else. So when you actually love someone, you're telling them that they're not alone. You're telling them that there is something good about them that deserves that love. You tell them that you're close to them, that you will assist them, that you're their brothers, that you are your their brother, their sister. So you break that lonely existence for yourself and also for other people. And you increase their iman. And these are the benefits that we will talk about, bi'idhnillah azza wa jal. So telling others that you love them spreads that love, which we said is an Islamic imperative, an Islamic command, and it's a blessing and an act of worship. Right? So if you listen to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, even if you say to yourself, it's really awkward, I'm not used to it, especially if you're male. Right? Because female, it could be easier for them. Oh, I love you back. Okay. But for males, that's difficult. You don't hear that from males, right? I love you. Or I love you for Allah's sake. But if you think about it in terms of it being an act of worship, just like salah, just like zakah, just like fasting, and this is something that Allah loves and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had commanded and he loved, what would you do? You would do it. Right? You would do it. And if you do it, you are rewarded for it as an act of worship. You are blessed because of it. And one of the clearest blessings is that this person will love you more and you will love them more because now he knows that you love them. So there is blessing in the akhirah, there are blessings in the dunya, and it's an act of worship that Allah Azza wa Jal rewards for. If you love someone, then let them know that you love them. Now, how do you know if you love someone for the sake of Allah? Okay. You love someone for the sake of Allah if the motive for that love is who? Is Allah Azza wa Jal. So you could love someone for a lot of reasons, right? They're funny. They like the same things that you like. You have common interests. They have a nice personality. They're nice to you. There are a lot of reasons why you would love someone. But these are all personal, right? What does it mean to love someone for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal? Meaning, you love Allah, and then an extension of that is, I love this person because of my love for Allah. So they serve Allah, or they honor Allah, or they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such ways that I love them for that. And a sure sign of it is that the more pleasing they are to Allah, you love them more. And the less pleasing they are to Allah, you love them less. So that love will go up and down, not based on my personal relationship with them. That's something that is separate. It's based on how pleasing or unpleasing they are to Allah. That's the difference. So if they commit a sin, if they upset Allah, even they are the nicest to you, you will love them less. Because what is the ground for that love? Allah Azza wa Jalla. Not how personally they're nice to you or not. Right? So that's why you find that the Sahaba of the Prophet والسلام, they could love absolute strangers for the sake of Allah and until they become dearer to them than their own families. And they could be distant from family members who oppose Allah Azza wa Jal, even though they could be their parents and their brothers and their children. There's a personal attachment that doesn't go away, but there's love for Allah's sake that supersedes that. So how do I know if I love someone for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal? If they please Allah, you love them. If they please Allah more, you love them more. If they displease Allah, you don't like them. If they displease Allah even more, you love them even less and less. That is how you know, and that is the measurement right here. So this is how you check, oh, I love someone for Allah's sake. But if they disobey Allah and you still love them the same and find excuses for them, and love someone who is more obedient, less than them, then you understand that we love and we hate based on personal connections and emotions, not based on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's kind of chase away the notion that this is awkward or this is trivial. That it doesn't matter whether I tell someone I love them or not. That's just too trivial. I can just ignore it. If it is trivial, why would the Prophet ﷺ talk about it? Why would he take time to direct, to recommend, and to guide and say, tell them? And as we will see, he did it, alayhi salatu wasalam. So why would he take time to do it and command it if it's trivial? So it's not trivial. Awkward practice of Islam shouldn't be awkward. So you overcome your embarrassment and say that for Allah's sake, just so Allah rewards you. It doesn't matter what happens after, but you want Allah's reward. So practice, and it's a sunnah, so it needs to be practiced. So some of the benefits of this command, tell others that you love them. One, you bring pleasure to that person. Okay, you bring happiness to them. When they know that somebody loves them, and maybe that is a sign that Allah loves them. So there are two things happening here. Aren't you happy when you hear that someone loves you? Hey, I like you. I love you. So that pleases you. And that in itself, the surur, the happiness that you bring to a Muslim, that is one of the best things that Allah loves. أفضل الأعمال وأحب الأعمال إلى الله. And we talked about that hadith. سرور تدخله على قلب مسلم. Of the best, more beloved deeds to Allah Azza wa Jal is happiness that you bring to a Muslim. And there are multiple ways that you could do this, but one of them is to tell them what? I love you for Allah's sake. So that makes them happy. For two reasons. One, someone likes me. Right? So there's something about me that is likable. And that kind of also defeats the whispers of the shaitan, who can come to you and say, you're nothing, you're worthless, you're this and you're that. Somebody comes and tells you, I like you, I love you. Then you understand there's something worthwhile about you. Alhamdulillah, that's good. And if you take it, as we said, as a sign also that Allah may like you because somebody likes you for Allah's sake, then that also pleases you even more and more. This will increase your iman and motivate you to be closer to Allah. Because somebody sees something in you, right? Somebody sees something worthwhile in you. MashaAllah, you are pleasing to Allah. MashaAllah, I love you for Allah's sake. Because I see that these good things in you. So you see, if somebody sees these things in me, then I'm going to try to do my best, inshaAllah, to multiply and increase all of that. So it inspires you and increases your iman and increases your acts of ibadah, your acts of righteousness, because somebody came and recognized something good that is in you. It also cements the love that is between you. And if everybody practices this, then in the entire society, when you tell him, I love you, he's going to love you back, necessarily, more than before. And you'll be closer to each other. You'll cooperate. You'll worry about each other. So love spreads when you do this. And if the rest of society does this sincerely, then love spreads in the entire society and they'll be stronger because they've shared their feelings. They said, I love you for Allah's sake, or I love you. and he loves you, and he loves his neighbor, and he loves this person and that person, then people know that they are loved. And society is better because of it. And when that's the case, when you know that somebody loves you, you're more likely to accept their advice. Right? So if someone out of nowhere comes and tells you about something that is wrong with you, behavior or attitude or belief, will you take it from them? There's some difficulty in that. Although we should, but it's a bit difficult. Because there's a distance. And I don't know if that person is simply critical of me. I don't know if he likes me or not. I don't know if he's focusing on my faults and mistakes because he's that type of person. I don't know. But if someone really likes you, he tells you, I love you, and now he's close to you, then that person comes later and he says, by the way, I want to give you this advice. Won't you take that from them or be more likely to take that from them? Because you believe that they are close to you, they want the best for you, right? So telling a person that you love them would enable you to give them advice because they feel comfortable around you and they know that you want the best for them. You're not after or chasing their mistakes and wanting to disgrace them or attack them. And it's also a protection from the plots of the shaitan. If somebody comes and says, you know, this person is backbiting you, this person is attacking you, he whispers to you, or somebody comes bearing tales about you to other people. If there is love between you, you'll say, no, that can't happen. I know this person. He loves me and I love them. So if there is really love between people, you foil the plots of the shaitan and you don't listen to his whisper. And also it heals and protects from the diseases of the heart. When you know somebody actually loves you, you're less likely to be envious of them. You're less likely to be suspicious of them. You're less likely to misjudge them. You're more likely to seek excuses for them. All this happens, why? Because I like this person. Think about it, right? You'll be envious of someone if you're in competition with them. But if I'm not competing with them because they really like me, I'm not going to be envious. You'll wish them the best. So envy goes away. Misjudgment, suspicion goes away. The stronger the love is. So that again foils the plots of the shaitan. So we need to hear that from each other, and we also need to break that lonely existence that all of us are feeling today. Even though some people are around people, other people, but they still feel alone. So emotions have run dry, and we need to revive that. Revive our emotional connections to Allah Azza wa Jal, an emotional connection to each other by saying, yes, I do love you, and I love you for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. I'll share with you here a few instances where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam expressed love. Two hadiths on page 297, 298, and then what do you say back when somebody says, I love you? So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in the famous hadith, he said, once he held the hand of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, and he said, Ya Mu'adh, wallahi inni la uhibbuk. He said, he held Mu'adh by the hand and he says, oh Mu'adh, by Allah I love you. Right? So of course, that's also an affectionate gesture, holding someone by the hand. And you say, by Allah. And why say by Allah? That's emphasis. It's not just I love you. He says, by Allah, I love you. So Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he says, بِأَبِي أَنْتَ وَأُمِّي وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأُحِبُّكَ بِأَبِي أَنْتَ وَأُمِّي, يعني you are dearer to me than my father and my mother. Wallahi, I also love you. So that exchange prefaced what? An advice from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that follows, which we know. So it says, Ya Mu'adh, usika la tada'anna fi duburi kulli salah. He says, Ya Mu'adh, I give you strong advice, right? Do not leave saying after each salah, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Ya Allah, assist me to remember you and to thank you and to worship you well. So he, alayhi salatu wasalam, could have just simply given that recommendation without the preface of I love you. Right? Still would have worked. But Mu'adh radiallahu anhu would forever remember this advice, because in the beginning of it, Rasulullah himself said, I love you. So this advice is coming from someone that loves you. Right? Just like when you speak to your child and you say, I love you, because of this, I want you to do this and that. It's coming from love that I'm asking you to do this, that I took the time to give this advice. So I love you, so don't forget to say, after each salah, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Ya Allah, assist me to remember you and to thank you and to worship you well. And that is one of the most beneficial dua that you could memorize and repeat. Because you could want to do these things, but if you're not assisted, could you do it? No. And subhanAllah, and it's after each salah, so that you declare to yourself and to Allah, this salah could not have happened without Allah. Now I'm finished this, but what about the next one? And what about the in-between? So the best dua is to ask Allah to assist you to do what Allah loves. Right? And that's what you ask where, by the way. You should connect it to the salah itself. When do you ask this? In what surah? You know. Al-Fatiha, right? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. That's what you ask every rak'ah and every salah. It says, we worship you and we need your assistance. Guide us to the straight path. So this is it. أَعِنِّي عَلَى ذِكْرِكَ. Help me to continue, remember you, and to thank you and to worship you well. And if Allah answers this dua because you're doing it after each salah, then you've won. So that's the importance of this. And it comes out of love. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ said. But who's higher, the Prophet or Mu'adh? The Prophet. Did he consider it to be demeaning to go to Mu'adh, who is below him in piety, and say, I love you? No. Right? And that kind of is what humility. There is tawadu in it. Okay? He's older, he's better, he's the Prophet, but he's the one who tells him, I love you. Right? Also, and this is on page 298, he says, خَرَجَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ يَوْمًا عَصِبًا رَأْسَهُ. He says, one of those days, the Prophet ﷺ, he came out and he had wrapped his head. Maybe he had a headache. صلى الله عليه وسلم قال فتلقاه ذراري الأنصار وخدمهم. So he is met by the children of the Ansar and their servants. ما هم بوجوه الأنصار يومئذ. They were not the dignitaries of the Ansar. They were not the important people of the Ansar, like the chiefs and the elders of the Ansar. No, who are they? The children and the servants. So he said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, قال والذي نفسي بيده إني لأحبكم مرتين أو ثلاثة. He says, I swear by the one who has my soul in his hand, I love you. He said it twice or three times to the children and to the servants. To tell you again that it's not about people of high status, about people who have power. No, no, no. This is love that is driven by love and driven by Allah Azza wa Jal. So if he loved the children of the Ansar, and he loved the servants of the Ansar, he tells them that. And so this is how love is. It's not driven by what? A return. I'm loving so that I would receive love in return. I'm loving because I want a benefit of some sort in return. No, this is motivated by Allah Azza wa Jal and by what you feel toward other people. And then the final hadith here in this chapter is, and again, it's page 298 to page 299. It says, there was once a man next to the Prophet ﷺ, then a third passed by them. And the Messenger ﷺ, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, he was telling the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, I love so-and-so. So the Prophet ﷺ asked him, did you let him know that you love him? He said, no. He said, go and let him know. So that's the command of the Prophet. Go and let him know. So he says, he caught up with him and he said, إني أحبك في الله. He says, I love you for Allah's sake. قال أحبك الذي أحببتني له. May the one that you love me for love you. That's how you reciprocate. That's how you reply. أُحِبُّكَ فِي اللَّهِ I love you for Allah's sake. May Allah love you. Right? May Allah love you. And that is better dua, right? Because you're asking for the best thing for him. You love me for Allah's sake. May Allah love you. And if Allah loves you, then everything else loves you. And if Allah loves you, you've won. Nothing to worry about after that. So consider, subhanAllah, the initial comment and the response. How both of them are beautiful. I love you for Allah's sake. So somebody's listening here. I love you. And the response, may Allah love you. So here, subhanAllah, love is supposed to be spread. Everybody's supposed to love each other. They're supposed to let each other know. And also, love is always anchored in Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah is the one who gives it. Allah is the one who spreads it. And Allah is the one who increases this love as you obey Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, more and more. Right? So this is the hadith, which is hadith number 27. And kind of it behooves us all, when you take this hadith, not just simply to know about it, but to do two things at least. One is to ask yourself, do I love people for the sake of Allah? If not, ask Allah for it, and then work on it so that you would start loving people simply for Allah's sake. When they're pleasing to Allah, you love them more. When they're working for Allah's sake, you love them more, just for that. And the other thing is, if you love someone, you let them know. And you make the basis of that love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, once you actually feel this and once you announce it, it has its own responsibilities. Meaning that you take care of that person, you observe Allah's commands when it comes to them, you give them advice, you seek their benefit, you protect them from harm. That's an announcement that Allah Azza wa Jalla has motivated me to love you, so you have to also observe Allah's commands when it comes to that person. Hadith 28 is a very short hadith, but in the spirit also of this previous hadith about spreading love. In this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Tahadu tahabbu." He said, give presents to each other and you will love each other. Tahadu, give presents to each other from the hadiyah. Tahabbu, you will love each other. So this is from the Prophet ﷺ, a means of spreading love. And again, it's not trivial. If he practiced it, if he talked about it, it's not trivial. And the objective is what? Spreading love. So again, it's another instance that proves that Allah Azza wa Jal loves the spread of love, and the Prophet ﷺ loves it and he commands it. Now, what is the relationship between gifts and love? So who likes to receive gifts, by the way? Everybody, right? So why is that the case? Because there's a natural inclination in us, fitrah, that we love the dunya. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, loving the dunya itself is not problematic. Excessive love of the dunya is the problem. Is it a problem for you to love to have children? Or to love to get married? Is that a problem? They're not part of the dunya, aren't they? So it's not loving the dunya that is the problem. It's an excessive attachment to it, or preferring it over or to the love of Allah Azza wa Jal and the commands of Allah. That's the problem. So here, as long as it's within limits, it's natural for us to love the dunya. That's one of the reasons why when somebody gives us gifts, we like them back. Because we got some of the dunya. And we like that. But it's also, it doesn't stop there. It's also kindness and love. Somebody was thinking about you. Somebody thought of you. Somebody liked you enough to take time, to take money, which all of us like money. We love money. To take some of that money that everybody loves. And he says, here, take it. But not in the form of money, which is really crass, but in the form of a gift that you can use, that you can enjoy. Something that is beautiful, or that you need, take it. So all of us love kindness and all of us appreciate that love. So gift is that expression too. So there's benefit in gift giving to the one who gives and to the one who receives. So when I'm giving a gift, I'm not just simply benefiting the other person. It's helping me. So how is it helping me when I give gifts? So first, the recipient feels loved. So that's a given. And they may receive something that they need. So when I'm receiving a gift, maybe that is something that I need. Perfume, siwak, dates, so, or something more expensive. But it's something that I can use. And because I can use it, I find it really highly beneficial. So that helps. And that if it satisfies a need, then it brings pleasure to the person. The one who gives is rewarded for practicing the sunnah. So again, just like the previous hadith, giving gifts with the right intention, isn't it an act of ibadah? So it's ibadah. And if you practice it as such, doesn't Allah reward you for it? So when you give a gift, then Allah rewards you for it. So it's an act of ibadah, it's an act of following the sunnah. And when you do it with the intention of spreading love, that's another good intention that you could add to that act that makes it even more rewarding. You fight with it, bukhl, stinginess. Because we like to receive, not give, as human beings. That's the inclination. Give me, but I don't want to give. But as with sadaqah, the more you give, the more generous that you become. And then you develop also the habit of thinking about others, not simply yourself. So that fights also selfishness. So you're always buying for yourself. And if you're always buying for yourself, you're always thinking about what? Yourself. But if you want to buy a gift for someone, you start to think about other people and what they're going through and what brings them pleasure and could remove their hardship and what they may need. So now you're not just simply trapped into your own mind, into your own body, into your own needs, but now somebody else matters and somebody else matters and another person matters depending on how many people you're going to give gifts to. So you expand this circle of concern and you're not as selfish and also you're not as stingy. Here, $5, $10, $100 for that person, that's fine as long as they're happy, as long as they are there's benefit, as long. So you're fighting bukhl, stinginess, and also fighting selfishness. And that also leads to more love and less friction. Because if I give somebody a gift and they love me more for it, and they may reciprocate and they give me love and give me a gift and I love them more for it, then we love each other more. And if that's the case, then society as a whole is better because of it. And our relationship, my relationship, is better because of it. And it also fixes the heart and what it feels. So you'll be angry with someone until they give you a gift. And it just removes that suspicion or that anger. You're suspicious of someone or you misjudge them until they give you a gift. And now it just removes the pain and the ugliness that is in the heart. Because now you know, oh, someone likes me and someone thought about me and thought of me. And so it does fix envy, suspicion, stinginess. So the diseases of the heart are also erased or removed or decreased because of that act. Now, let me share with you instances where the Prophet ﷺ gave and how that transformed people. And then we'll ask an important question after it, inshallah. So Safwan ibn Umayyah, this is on page 301 and then 302 and then 303. So Safwan ibn Umayyah, he said, أعطاني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم حنين وإنه لأبغض الخلق إلي فما زال يعطيني حتى لإنه لأحب الخلق إلي. Safwan ibn Umayyah, who wasn't Muslim yet, he said, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم gave me on the day of Hunain. He gave me wealth, he gave me money. We'll understand soon what he gave him. And he was the most hated person in the world to me. And he continued to give me until he became the most beloved to me. So he said, I hated him the most. Safwan was a polytheist and a leader among the polytheists. On the day of Hunayn, he said, he gave me. And he gave me so much that he moved from being the person I hate the most to the person I love the most. Okay? Now, you want to understand how much he gave him, alayhi salatu wasalam, how much he gave Safwan. He said, there's one narration in Muslim. He says, وَأَعْطَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يَوْمَئِذٍ صَفْوَانَ بْنَ أُمَيَّ مِئَةً مِنَ النَّعَمِ ثُمَّ مِئَةً. So he gave Safwan ibn Umayyah 100 livestock animals, and then another 100, and then another 100. So he gave him 100. So think livestock, مِنَ النَّعَمِ. Think of camels. Think of sheep. And the next narration will tell you that. So he gave him 100. You know how much that is? That is a lot of money. And then 100. And then 100. That's 300. That's how much he gave him. So he said, I started to like him and to love him because of that. How much he gave. The incident, because in Al-Maghazi Al-Waqidi, kind of is explained in a little bit more detail. And there's, at the end of it, a really nice comment from Safwan. He says, يُقَالُ أَنَّهُ طَافَ مَعَ النَّبِيِّ وَالنَّبِيُّ يَتَصَفَّحُ الْغَنَائِمِ. He says, it was said that he was in the company of the Prophet ﷺ as the Prophet is inspecting the spoils of war from Hunayn. إِذْ مَرَّ بِشِعْبٍ. He passed by a valley, both of them. So he passed by a valley. And it had in it sheep and camels and the shepherds. And that valley was full. That valley was full of sheep and camels and their shepherds. فَأَعْجَبَ صَفْوَانَ وَجَعَلَ يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِ. So Safwan admired it, and he kept staring at it. How much this valley has of sheep and camels. The Prophet noticed. So he said, أَعْجَبَكَ يَا أَبَا وَهَبْ هَذَا الشِّعْبِ. He says, يَا أَبَا وَهَبْ, you admire what is in this valley? He said, yes. He says, you have it all. All of it, and what is there, all of it is yours. Take it. So Safwan said, أشهد ما طابت بهذا نفس أحد قط إلا نبي وأشهد أنك رسول الله. It says, I testify that only the soul of a prophet could be comfortable giving as much. And I testify that you are the messenger of Allah. Right? Now that last part, you could consider among what is called دلائل النبوة, the proofs of prophethood. To Safwan, it proved to him that this person is a prophet of Allah. Right? Now, a king, if he were to give something like this, it would not convince Safwan that that king is special. Why? Because that king has a lot more. A king himself loves money. If he gives you 100,000, it's only because he has millions back. Right? He's not going to give you everything he has. No king does this. Kings love wealth and money. But when he comes to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, what does he have? He knows. What does he have? Next to nothing. Now, if he has possession of all of these animals, which cost a lot of money, and think of each camel, maybe for today, costing between 5,000 to 10,000. That's reasonable. Multiply that by how many camels were in that valley. We said livestock, 300. Maybe half of them were camels, or one third of them were camels. Multiply that by that number. So if he's willing to give that much and not retain anything from himself, what kind of person is that? He doesn't care about the dunya. He gives it all away. Who can have that type of heart and that type of soul? Someone who is not possessed by the dunya. And that's why he said, I testify only, because he has never seen anything like this in his life. He said, I testify only a prophet could do this, not care about the dunya in the least, and give as much easily. So he became Muslim because of it. Tayyib, as the next hadith will confirm, was this a bribe? Let's ask. Was he like, okay, I'm not going to accept Islam until I'm bribed to accept Islam? Wasn't a bribe. Right? And we'll understand in the next hadith why. But why was giving someone like Safwan important? Because Safwan was attached to what? As a polytheist, who's not simply Muslim yet. What is he attached to? The dunya or the akhirah? The dunya. His heart is with the dunya. That's why he was staring at those things. So if you satisfy that craving of his, so he's no longer in need of the dunya, and he sees the actions of the Prophet ﷺ of how small the dunya is, he could move from the dunya to the akhirah. It's a transition. Here, you're attached to the dunya, take this 1,000, take this 100,000, take it. Until you know that it does not really matter. And we're not about the dunya. So when you satisfy that craving, you could move on from loving the dunya to loving the akhirah. So it's not really a bribe, but a transformation. Take what you need, but turn to Allah Azza wa Jal. We're not about the dunya. We're about the next life. So this is how it doesn't matter to us. You want 100,000? Here. You want 1,000,000? Here. But then after, we're not focused on the dunya. And he sees this, and he's changed because of it. And the following hadith on page 303 confirms this. سأل رجل النبي غنما بين جملين فأعطاه إياه. Once a person came to the Prophet ﷺ, and there was sheep between two mountains in the valley between them. So he asked the Prophet for that. He gave him all of it. So he went back to his people and he said, أسلموا فوالله إن محمدا ليعطي عطاء ما يخاف الفقر. He says to his people, he said, accept Islam. He said, by Allah, Muhammad is giving the giving of someone who's not afraid of poverty. He's giving like someone who's not afraid of poverty. Anas radiallahu anhu comments and he said, إِن كَانَ الرَّجُلَ لَيُسْلِمْ مَا يُرِيدُ إِلَّا الدُّنْيَا. He says, somebody would accept Islam. It would happen that somebody would accept Islam. And in the beginning of it, he would only want the dunya, be interested in the dunya. But when he accepts Islam, he soon is transformed and Islam would be more beloved to him than the dunya and what it contains. In the beginning, he is still a new Muslim. He loves the dunya. But he sees how Muslims give it away and Islam transforms him until he becomes what? A person like them. He doesn't care about the dunya anymore. He can give it away like they gave it away. So why did this man go back to his tribe, to his people, preaching Islam? Because again, he never seen in his life somebody give as much. And someone who lives in this humble dwelling, wearing these humble clothes, doesn't keep none of these things to himself, doesn't want to be rich, and he's not afraid of poverty. Can you imagine yourself living the type of life where you're not afraid of poverty anymore? Never. Can you imagine it? How much trust would you have in Allah Azza wa Jalla not to be afraid of it? Not to say to yourself, okay, I'll give you half of it, but I'll keep half for the sake of my kids and for the sake of my families and the future, and it could be bleak and there's inflation and there's this and uncertainty and there is rent and there is payment and responsibilities. No, you're not afraid of poverty. Means you're not worried about it. Because that does not happen unless you're someone exceptionally special, and it can only happen if you are what? A prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's how the Prophet ﷺ was able to capture people's hearts. Now before we leave, let's just mention a couple of things about gift giving. So giving gifts needs to be righteous for the right reasons. And Allah Azza wa Jal directed His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran, Surah Al-Muddathir, early on in Islam, when He said, وَلَا تَمْنُن تَسْتَكْثِرُ. And one of the interpretations of that ayah is, do not give a favor or give a gift requiring or expecting something more in return. تَمْنُن, المن is to give. تَسْتَكْثِر meaning you want to get more from that. And that is a type of gift giving that is not righteous. Because it's not being done for Allah Azza wa Jal, is not being done for the benefit of the other person, is being done for what? I want more from you. So I'm doing you a favor because I'm expecting something from you in the future. You owe me. Is that for Allah? No. So sometimes a person can give a gift out of what? Out of, you know, showing off. Here, I can afford this. Let me show you how much I can give you. I can give a gift because I want something back from you. So I want you to owe me, so I'll ask you later. Or I want a better gift from you. Right? So here, I'm expecting more from you, or at least something of equal value. And if not, I'll be, what? Upset. Because you didn't give me anything back. That's not righteous giving. Also, you could give because of embarrassment and social obligations. And I'm not saying you shouldn't observe social obligations. But if you are coerced into giving, that's not righteous. Well, I need to give him. Why? Because I need to. Or I'm giving him because I need to. But that's not a complete good intention. Maybe there are some social obligations, but also could you give them because you want to give, because you want to benefit them, because of love, because it's a sunnah, then it would be a righteous act. Not just simply because, oh, they're getting married, they're graduating, they're leaving, so I have to give them something. And you give it not only reluctantly, but with resentment. I have to. I'm wasting my money. That's not righteous. The Prophet ﷺ, when he said tahadu tahabbu, meaning it should be for Allah and it should be for love and it should be for the benefit of the other person and should be without expectations. Give, and who will reward you? Allah Azza wa Jalla, not that human being. Right? Not that human being. Also, don't belittle any gift, whether you are receiving or giving. And that's also part of al-adab, the adab of receiving gifts and giving gifts. If you're only going to give expensive gifts, you won't give often, right? If only going to give expensive things, you're not going to give often because you can't really afford it. And it's hard to develop a habit of giving, especially that we have this stinginess, you know, baked into us. It's hard to develop that habit if you're going to give gifts occasionally, not frequently. So that does not really remedy the soul. So that's about giving, but also about receiving. Some of us, when we receive some gift, we said, this, how much did it cost? $5, $10? Not much of anything. So you look down on it because of how much it cost. You don't consider the act as ibadah. You don't consider the emotions behind it, and that person was practicing what they can. Maybe this is the best that they could afford. At least they thought of you. No, the adab is as he said, alayhi salatu wassalam, ya nisa al-muslimati la tahqiranna jaratun li jaratiha walau firsanasha. He says, O Muslim woman, a woman should not look down on a gift she receives from her woman neighbor, even if it were a sheep's hoof. Okay, which has almost nothing attached to it. A hoof is the least that you can give from that animal, from a sheep. But he says, even if you receive that, don't look down on it. Don't look down on it in terms of what giving it and receiving it. So no matter what you have, even if it's just a little bit, give away. Give it as a gift. And even if you receive that, be thankful that they actually practice this ibadah and they practice this sunnah and don't look down on it. And they say, why is it that he, alayhi salatu wasalam, one of the reasons at least, he said, don't look down on it, is because if you're going to just simply save and save and save to give a gift, you're not going to give. You're not going to give. But if you kind of accustom yourself to give whatever you have, whatever is in your hand, as little as it is, you know? As he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another hadith, that if you're cooking, increase kind of the water in the broth so that you could share this with your neighbor. So you have this habit of sharing all the time. It develops into a habit, ada. But you can only practice it if you practice it frequently. So that's why he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, do not belittle it. And also from the adab of gift giving, is he said, عليه الصلاة والسلام. I mean, he, this is a practice. كان يقبل الهدية ويثيب عليها. He used to accept gifts and give presents in return. So he will accept it and give back. Accept and give back. And that's also a good adab to keep in mind. Not simply out of social obligation, simply because I could be criticized for it. You could just receive a gift and that be it. But here there is an adab in it, which is what? As he pleased you, you please him. As he practiced the sunnah, you practice it. As there was an act of ibadah, you reciprocate that act of ibadah. And also in a sense, so you don't owe people, right? You don't owe people. Everybody is equal. But it's also important too, he made me feel good, I'm going to make them feel good. He gave me something that I need, I'll give them something that he needs. And he gave me something that I really use, and I'm going to give them something that they could really use, right? So that's an adab also in gift giving. And that will be, inshallah, both of these things, that will be your project. I'm never going to give you projects, right? But that is going to be, inshallah, your project for the coming week. So you got to have to find someone, okay? And I'm excluding myself from all of this. So don't just do that with me. Find someone that you're going to tell them I love you, not me, somebody else, okay? Find someone that you're going to tell them I love you. And then also find someone that you could give them a gift. Especially someone around you. Again, not me. Somebody else. Tell them, here's a gift. Why? How? Just for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So practice this, right? It's not going to cost you. Telling someone that you love them, free. Right? And the gift, you can cap it whatever way you want. $5, $10, whatever. But at least find that person. At least you say to yourself, I heard a hadith, and I did what? I applied it. Because it stays with you. Right? Stays with you and for you, bi-idhnillah azza. I heard the hadith and I applied it. So what's your project now? You're going to do what one? What's the first? Tell a person that you love them, right? Okay? Preferably someone you didn't tell them before. So someone new. And then the next, the second, find someone and give them a gift, inshallah. That's it. Khair, inshallah. Let me know, inshallah, if you have questions. And these do not kind of these are not all the manners related to gift and gift giving, but there's some of them, inshallah. There is more. Okay. So we'll see, inshallah, if there's any. Okay. So we have one question here. So, okay, that's a good question. Are we allowed to say that I love you for the sake of Allah to a non-mahram, which we truly mean is that we love the person for Allah's sake. It is not for other motive, but just for Allah. No, it's preferable that you don't. So a female to a male or a male to a female, and you tell them I love you for Allah's sake, no, you don't do that. Because it could be misconstrued, it could change from noble, sincere expression into something that is not, right? So just to close the door for the whispers of the shaitan, just make dua for that person. But either it is between the maharim, one who is mahram, or male with male, or female with female. So jazakumullah khair for that question. It's important to know that, inshallah. Okay, okay. So anyone on the brother's side? Sister said there is, okay. Okay. We'll give you a minute, inshallah. Oh, okay. Go ahead, inshallah. Okay. So, is there a particular reason that you have in mind for not accepting? I'll repeat that question. Do you have any particular reason or just... Okay, just because it's too expensive? Okay. And kind of you feel that you'll be indebted to that person and you won't be able to... So the question here is that... do we have to accept every gift that we receive? Or can we decline that gift? So I asked what could be a possible reason to decline the gift, and he said maybe it's too excessive, too expensive. So you feel that you don't need it. Maybe you'll be indebted to that person. So first let's say that the Prophet ﷺ, once he said the meaning of what he said. He says, I'm about not to accept any gifts except from such and such and such. Because he, alayhi salatu wasalam, because he being kind of the focal point and the center of attention, he would receive gifts. But then some who would give gifts, they would give it for ulterior motives. They would give to get back. So it wasn't sincere, it wasn't right, it wasn't, again, righteous. So that's why he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, I'm about to limit accepting gifts except from this tribe or these people. Because he knows that when they give, they really give for giving and not for anything else. So if a person is giving for the wrong reasons, you could follow the sunnah or the act of the Prophet ﷺ and not accept a gift if it's for bad reasons. So if there is something bad, you don't have to accept it, right? Of course, if the gift is haram, you reject it. But if it's not given for the right reasons and is going to trouble you, burden you, embarrass you in some sort, and rejecting it is better than accepting it, then you can reject it, right? And not take it. At the same time, just keep in mind that when you do this, you're likely to offend that person. So just think about the benefits and the harm, and then you ultimately have to decide. And by the way, sometimes you can, if the only problem is that the gift is too expensive, you could give it and then accept it and re-gift it. Like give it, take it, and then give it to somebody else if you don't want to use it. So let's say, for instance, it's something that you don't want to use in your life because it's too extravagant and you don't want to live that type of life. You could take it and then give it to somebody else. And you find, you know, examples of that in the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would give a gift. He doesn't want to use it. He gives it to Umar, let's say. And then Umar gives it to his brother. So there's this re-gifting, right, that takes place. No. So if you get gifts at from work at holidays and the holidays, the Christmas season, right? So you give that, you receive that, you're allowed to take them. And then what you do with them is up to you. You could just take it, or if you feel it's better for you to re-gift, then re-gift it. Especially if you start feeling that I'm going to like this season because of all the gifts I'm receiving. So next year I'm going to look forward to Christmas. And you are now excited about Christmas just because I'm going to get something free, right? So if you feel, I don't want to have those feelings, so you get it and give it away. Receive, accept it and give it away, right? Inshallah. Okay. Connected to what you asked about, can we give during other religion festival seasons? No. So you can accept their gifts, but not give them gifts during their festivals, during their holidays. So they're celebrating something, not Islamic, and they give you something. Something that has not been slaughtered for their gods, right? Or blessed for their gods. That's something like that, you cannot eat it, you cannot consume it. Because that's religious, consecrated for the worship of other than Allah Azza wa Jal. But we're talking about what? Something that is worldly. During their season, you're allowed to accept it, but not give gifts. So, can I give them gifts later? Yeah, you can. So later on, right, after that season, after that season, on Eid, first Eid, second Eid, Ramadan, take the opportunity and give them a gift during your holidays, during your special time. Inshallah. Okay. Done? Okay. Anyone else, inshallah, on the sister's side? And brother's side, we're good? Should we conclude? Okay. طيب. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفر وأتوب إليك والحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم